Hey guys, welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode 8. It's Bad Milo instead of The Conjuring this time. We'll get to The Conjuring. We just kind of got mixed up with me having a baby and whatnot. So enjoy the episode. Again, it's episode 8. We hope you enjoy it. Thanks.
Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heads or tails.
Too much.
You'll hate it afterwards.
All right. Well, everybody, welcome to the Who Goes There podcast. Here we are. Hot as fuck. I apologize for the settings.
This is our end of summer episode.
There's not much we can do about it. I mean, other than truck up to our bedroom, but yeah. I think Ronnie
outside of California can still relate now.
Yeah, what are we gonna do? Move somewhere more comfortable?
Yeah, no thanks. I'll deal with the 1 week of heat. It actually started when we were at the hospital.
Oh yeah.
So we kind of.
So why were you in the hospital?
Why was I at the hospital? Well, the our hell baby was finally born.
The hell baby. Oh, and what is this hell baby's name? Since none of us have been introduced yet either.
Yeah, you'll see him soon enough. His name is Micah William. And Micah, just because we're weird, and William because it's Ronnie's grandfather's name.
Black Eyed Peas, of course. That's why.
Yeah.
It's Will I Am, technically.
Is it? Oh, okay.
I'm assuming it would be Will I Am. There's at least two periods in there, right?
Probably, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, we spent 6 days in the hospital, starting Wednesday, and he was born, let's see.
Not on my birthday, for one.
Thankfully, but on Ollie's birthday, actually. which I heard was okay. She was all right with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we spent, it was 6 days. We got there Wednesday. He was born Saturday at 3:45 in the morning. We left Tuesday at, like 2 o'clock, something like that. But it was fucking brutal. Like, towards the end, man, I was like, let's go. I'm going to sneak my baby out of here. But you can't, because, like, they have GPS trackers on them and shit.
Did you do it all down the garbage chute? Yeah, all covert.
You can't
put them in a towel.
And you can't even, like, you can't even do much. Like, you walk out of your room and they know instantly that you're out of your room.
You're not a gamer then if you think you can't do much.
You know, if you had watched Bad Milo, you would have already known how to sneak it out.
Right. Ooh, look at Mikey. Goodness gracious.
Yeah. Before we get too far ahead, since Jorge always forgets, I'm Matt, as always.
I wasn't forgetting.
You always forget.
I am,
have to remind you.
I am on track, dude. I might be running on as little sleep as possible, but I am on track.
I'm not even sure you remember your own name at this point.
I don't even know what podcast this is.
Are we recording? Is it even on?
Yes. I had to check. Okay, so we'll go through it. So, actually, we'll skip you first. No, we're starting again.
Oh. I'm Mikey.
Yeah, Mikey's back.
Mikey's back here for a second time. Yay.
And I'm Matt.
Alia,
no nickname, Smith.
Yeah, who's becoming a regular.
I know, more regular than Mikey at this point. Goodness.
You're going to have to take his name off the credits and put hers on.
Dementia.
And I'm Jorge, as usual. Tired and
George.
A little delirious, but good. We're getting into some normalcy here again, so we're good. What the hell happened to you guys in last week? I haven't seen or heard anything. What's going on? Anything?
Fucking suffering in the heat, man.
It's bad. Like, yeah.
I say suffering, but it's not horrible compared to the rest of the country.
Yeah.
Boohoo, I live in paradise.
We live in paradise and it's high 80s. Oh my god.
Dang.
It's all relative.
It's not bad.
I see a Facebook post from our friends in Texas though. I'm just like, ooh, I'm okay.
Yeah.
Not so bad.
Up in triple digits.
Yeah. Well, we took the baby out on Wednesday to go grab lunch.
Holy you found shit. A homeless midget?
Dude. Yeah, and he was pretty scared of him, too. No, dude, we went to this, where did we go to? I don't even remember. Doesn't matter. And just the, like, getting in and out of the car was like death. It was like, oh my god, what the fuck?
Yeah.
The poor kid was dying. He had like a heat rash yesterday. It was gnarly.
You just have to do everything in the car. Drive-thru, take out, fucking drive-in movie.
Everything.
Yeah.
You just keep your car running for the whole movie.
The whole thing. We're going to be going through like 40 gallons of gas a day, but it's totally
it's
cool.
So
take that, Al Gore.
Fuck a Al Gore. So,
thankfully, this is the end of summer episode because I'm sick of this fucking heat.
But you do like, love wearing your shirt.
I do. This is my summertime party shirt. I don't know if that means I have to retire this shirt after today.
I don't think so. And I think we should definitely post a picture of it.
We'll post it.
I think San Diego is year-round tank top weather. You can get away with it.
There's a couple few days where you can't, but yeah. You could get away with it and still be like...
I still see people doing it.
Yeah. We still wear shorts and tank tops in December. Who gives a shit?
Sandals on Christmas. People wear hoodies.
Uggs and skirts.
Matt, you've seen me in pants a couple of times in the, like, what, 6, 7 years?
But it's usually when you have to dress up for a wedding.
That's the only time.
Like, a wedding or something.
Yeah. Well... So,
I hardly ever see him even in sleeves, even short.
Yeah. He buys a new t-shirt and he's like, fuck it, sleeves off.
As naked as possible all the time.
'Summer coming to a close, we start getting ushered into the fucking horror movie season.
So it is, that is true.
Starting with Insidious 2.
But you know what, though? I don't feel like we had a lull this year, really. I think we transitioned from...
Sprinkling, yeah.
From, like, a big horror movie chunk into, like, a nice... Because we did have...
There was some sprinkled in through...
Yeah, and it was good enough to kind of keep us busy and keep
none
us...
None of them were really good. Were they?
But there has been a steady flow of them, though.
I mean, we did like The Conjuring, even though we should have done an episode on it. But
yeah.
We'll do it when
point.
It comes out on DVD.
Yeah, that's good. But we did like The Conjuring as a podcast. We dug it, and we also did like.
Ish.
I still like it.
Okay, all right. We'll get to it. We'll get to it. What have you seen that you like recently? I'm pointing to Mikey. I keep pointing, and it doesn't make any sense.
I wait until I hear about things to watch. I'm not gonna waste my time on anything new. I'm that jerk.
But
I wait. Word of mouth
old?
Is everything to me. No, not really.
No. Boy, we're such hardcore horror fans. We haven't seen shit.
we saw You're Next.
I know. We'll probably should we do an episode on it? What do you think?
Yeah, probably.
Well, let's just.
I really wanted.
How did you guys feel about it? Should we?
The violence was good.
D plus.
Oh well, maybe we won't do it because I don't know if we need to be doing shit that we don't like.
I think it deserves a rewatch. I'd watch it.
Maybe
again.
It was really predictable.
Maybe we could do like a Conjuring / Your Next quick episode.
The summer horror
summer
blockbuster
horror.
Episode.
Yeah, maybe like a summer wrap up kind of deal.
We could
think about that.
The Conjuring wins.
I felt like it did a lot of what The Purge did. But The Purge did it better. There was just no atmosphere in this. The characters couldn't really act. They were kind of unlikable.
There's no likable characters at all.
There's no likable characters. The twists were predictable.
Okay, so by what you guys are saying, I don't think we should review it.
Watch The Purge instead. That's what I would say. If The Purge did anything really well, it was building atmosphere and building suspense, and Your Next just fell way flat on that.
Huh.
So... That's okay. What I thought.
All right. Dude, I gotta say, Mikey, I looked up that video game that you showed us, that side-scrolling, what's the Dragon's...
Dragon's Crown.
Dragon's
yeah,
Crown.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was a fucking full retail release.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, $60, dude.
It's a blockbuster title.
Jesus
it's a 2D
Christ.
Game. 2D games rise again.
I hopped on my PS3 the other day. I'm like, I'm totally gonna get this thing. And I'm thinking Xbox Live game, it's $20.
Right.
I'm not gonna buy it for $60. There's no way.
And it's been top 10 in Japan for a couple of weeks.
I can't do it.
It's good though. They're finally bringing 2D back a little bit. It's nice.
Well, that's good. Yeah, it's a little pricey though, man.
I'm hoping for 2D Castlevania come back to me, and not the portable stuff. The whole shebang.
What's your favorite Castlevania?
Symphony of the Night.
Yep.
Hands down. There's no questions asked.
It's the best one. Have you guys played it all in?
On the handheld, though.
Same thing, a bunch of the Castlevanias.
I think Symphony of the Night is probably the best. And when they released it on Xbox Live, it was fucking incredible because you got to use the actual Xbox controller.
Which is
my favorite thing in the entire world.
It was good. It was like Castlevania meets Super Metroid. It had all the interesting exploratory elements. You got to play through the castle a couple times. Like had surprises, had a ton of different items, different enemies.
Yeah.
And it was definitely one of my top 5 games of all
time. It's a great game. Yeah.
Speaking of little
yeah, go ahead.
Old 8-bit games, Mikey had a really fun idea that might be cool as a little intro for another show.
I just one of those moments where I'm like in a stupor and suddenly an idea comes to me that's so stupid it must be good. I realize that Iron Maiden songs sound so much like Mega Man songs when you put them in MIDI form. And get a little game going, Mega Man or Iron Maiden. Play an Iron Maiden song in MIDI or a Mega Man song and see which one it is.
Just like for a little fun game before we get into an episode.
I don't know how to apply it. I could definitely put an Iron Maiden song in MIDI, and you would think it was Mega Man. So I just want to see how many people I can confuse with this.
Well, if you're talking us, we could probably identify pretty quickly.
Part of the podcast, no, but okay. Well, I don't know.
Because I have Mega Man 2. I have Mega Man 2 songs, all of them, like, memorized back and forth.
Mega Man 2 is the best,
though. It is. Yeah. It really is.
It is. Dr. Wily's the internet.
Well, I'll put that homework on you, Mikey.
All right.
I don't know that I can take on any more projects at the moment.
When you come on another episode in a month, maybe.
Oh, shit.
A month? That's what? You mean 2 months.
2 months. There you go.
We'll start making it biannual. It'll be special guests.
Yeah. It'll be a special guest instead of a regular guest. All right, so let's kind of get to where we need to go. Like you mentioned earlier, we did Bad Milo as our podcast movie for the review.
We weren't the first, but we'll be the best.
Oh, easily.
We're much more fun.
Yes.
Much more fun. You got a little info on this movie, correct?
What kind of info do I have?
Let's see. Do we have a director for this movie, please?
The director.
This is usually your bit.
Yeah, I just was caught off guard. Director is Jacob Vaughn, written by Benjamin Hayes and Jacob Vaughn, starring Ken Marino.
The glorious Ken Marino.
Ken Marino, yeah, really good.
Won't come on our podcast, Ken Marino. Jillian Jacobs from Community, Stephen Root from Everything, King of the Hill. That's what I like it from. it's basically about a guy who's kind of just all weak all over the place, and he deals with a lot of shit.
Now let's take a step back there. It's a touching tale of a man and his baby butt demon.
Let's
get to the meat of it. That's what it is.
That's what it is.
I will say this, that by the end of the movie, I was praying for a butt demon, because how cool would that be to have?
You wanted a butt demon?
I would totally have a butt demon to exact my revenge.
It was almost as cute as Gizmo from Gremlins.
Yeah, totally.
Gizmo.
It looked like the baby from the TV show Dinosaurs if it were stricken with like innumerable tumors.
That's totally so true. Cute. It's like the Deadpool baby dinosaur. Baby dinosaur, totally.
It made
him look like a Boston Terrier too.
He was pretty. He was when we first saw him. He was pretty cute. I, you know.
It made noises like Gizmo, and it reminded me enough of Gizmo. And then when he got angry, he reminded me enough of the other Gremlins. That
also, guys,
this is like Gremlins 3 for me.
Did we realize that this is the third pregnancy type movie that we've seen?
And it starts with an ultrasound.
And hopefully this is the last one, because Bad Milo is now born, both my child and the movie.
Now we have to do Killer Baby.
That's fine. That's okay.
Ooh, the new Chucky's coming out.
That's true.
I think it's actually. I think it might already be out on DVD.
We could just keep rebooting it, or are they continuing on?
So it's got. Well, we're gonna stop the quick.
I think it's a reboot.
It's a reboot, but it also has the original voice of Chucky as Chucky. Okay. So it's got, you know, it's got some.
So it's, they're starting over at Child's Play.
I believe so. Yes.
That sounds exciting.
And it looks really good.
On that note, I've said it ever since Freddy vs. Jason came out, but I wanted them to do a lot more crossovers, and I really wanted to see Chucky vs. the Leprechaun.
I think.
But now I want to see Chucky vs. Bad Milo. How awesome would that be?
I don't know.
With no CG involved.
Speaking of, actually, I have read recently that the original version of the script for Freddy vs. Jason ended with Pinhead from Hellraiser meeting them in hell and asking, is there a problem?
Really?
So that's just a little side note there. That would have been amazing. Awesome.
All right, well, to get sort of back to where we need to be in the review, we already kind of gave a quick synopsis of the film. It was just basically guy has some serious stress-related shit going on, finds out he has a butt demon. That's essentially the movie. I guess one of the sort of key points of his little butt demon is that it actually takes revenge on people that mess with him in his life.
Right.
Who cause him stress, rather.
It seeks them out individually, and it seems like everyone in his life creates stress for him.
Oh, yes.
His life.
His mom creates stress.
Oh, God.
And your buddy, what's the mom's boyfriend?
Oh, yeah, I was going to tell you guys. He's in it, yeah. Kumail.
Yeah.
Kumail, again, the guy's got...
He's hilarious.
He's really funny.
He was pretty funny in Hellbaby, but he was hilarious in this. So his mom is dating somebody half his age who's just really openly, like, sexual in front of the son, and that's creating stress. His boss, Patrick Warburton, who, no matter what he does, is absolutely fucking hilarious. Yeah. He can just make a face and express so much.
His hair, however, is getting, like, really ridiculous.
Really thin.
I just think of Brock Sampson with the flowing gold mullet, and it just, that's fine. I'll just imagine that in my mind.
He either needs to find somebody better to do his hair piece,
or just back to doing the Tick, where he just has his head covered the entire time.
There you go. Reboot that one.
Reboot the Tick show, goddammit.
So basically, and it's Duncan, Ken Marino's character, he ends up having some gastrointestinal issues.
Yeah.
Goes to the doctor, finds out he has a polyp in his pooper.
In his pooper. Oh, which
a trooper in his pooper.
Also,
how many times have you had a trooper in your pooper, Mikey?
Jesus Christ.
He hangs out on the docks.
So since we like intros into movies, I actually really dug.
The colonoscopy.
Yeah, it was really cool.
It was very, like, close up, like something you'd see in a sci-fi movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
X-Men or something like that, and then you realize that you're in his colon.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a pretty good way to start it. So, finding out that he has these gastrointestinal issues, he's told they have to eliminate stress in his life, and finds it everywhere he goes. You talk about the dinner scene.
Yeah.
The most uncomfortable meal of all.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Holy shit. So, yeah, basically, he has dinner at his mom's house with her new boyfriend, which is...
Kumail.
Kumail Nanjiani.
His name is Bobby in the movie.
Not gonna work here anymore.
I made that joke last week. Mike wouldn't know that.
And I'll delete it this time. And, his mom is really on him about having a baby, like, you know, having all kinds of fertility stuff, and actually brings in a fertility doctor to the meal, which is...
And he wants to, like, he wants to inspect his balls, like, right there and check out.
Yeah, like, right then and there.
We can do it right out his function, and all the while, the mother and the boyfriend are...
Right,
all
so
fucking over each other.
It's weird enough that she brings a fertility guy there to check out her son's ding ding, but then, like, her underage boyfriend is sitting there being like, "Yeah, we don't have that problem."
Yeah,
I'm too fertile.
When the doctor goes, if it's small, don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed.
We have the opposite problem.
And his mom's like, "Oh yeah, it's immaculate, honey. I've seen it before. Don't worry."
Yeah.
That's just really. Penis, honey.
Yeah, that's so weird. I don't think I could have stuck around. I would have been like, fuck this.
Hot compliments from mom? No thanks. You can just keep that to yourself, moms. That's cool.
Yeah.
Apparently
you got it from dad too.
Well, and the whole part where Kumail's character is like, you can call me dad or on second thought, no, that's left to your mom.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck?
Holy fuck, man. Like, no wonder this guy has fucking psychotic butt demons that kill everyone that pisses him off, because everything in his life sucks ass. He should have killed himself long ago.
He's basically just a human doormat.
Yeah.
And all of his anger has come to be in the form of this little baby butt demon. So eventually he ends up, after getting shit on all of his shit on at work, shit on at home.
He shits out a butt demon.
He shits out, yeah, little baby bad Milo.
The toilet scene before we finally get to sort of, well, we don't meet Milo just then, but when Milo first comes out, I felt so bad. Sitting on the toilet, just dying.
We've all been there.
It was that champagne cork shit where, you know, you pop the cork and like, there's just some magical plug holding it all.
Holy crap, that's brilliant. That's good.
Yeah,
good.
And then he passes out Elvis style on the toilet. And
yeah, and we get to see butt demon view as Milo
birds himself out his anus. This movie reminded me a lot of Junior, you know, the Arnold Schwarzenegger. Well, because he's getting Ken Marino's getting the sonogram at the beginning to find out why he's got the trooper.
Yeah, and I totally thought it was going to be the wife, but
oh yeah,
a little shuck and jive right there.
And speaking of the
good
wife,
job, like, filmmakers,
Jillian Jacobs, she can't act normal. Does that make sense? Like, when you see her in Community, she's really weird and over the top, and that suits her. But I feel like in this, she was trying to act like a normal human being, and she just came across as
really I see what you're saying. Not that she can't act normal, but you can't see her as normal when she's acting.
Like, when she tries to just act like she's a normal, regular person, she seems really fucking weird and just off-putting.
But when
she's acting zany and... You know, like Jane Lynch.
Kind of strings together because Ken Marino, of course, is in Party Down as Ron Donald, which is fucking brilliant for anybody who hasn't seen
it. Watch Party Down.
And Jane Lynch is also in Party Down, but she's one of those actresses as well that you just, she could never be a normal character for me because she's just so peculiar in every role I'm used to seeing her.
Yeah, it was a little bit jarring first seeing Gillian Anderson because you're like, oh, it's Britta.
Is it Gillian Anderson?
Gillian
No, X-Files.
I'm thinking X-Files.
My teenage girlfriend in my mind.
Teenage current. God,
I know, right?
Did you see?
She's so smart.
Somebody posted a picture of her on Reddit of her as not Cruella and not Elvira, but the Addams Family mom. What's her name?
Morticia.
Whoa. She looks good.
Wait, are they doing like a new Addams Family?
I don't think so. I think it might have just been some sort of photo shoot because there was no. I couldn't find any info on it, but yeah, it's nice.
He just started googling. Julian Adams, Morticia, nude.
And Anderson
immediately.
So, yeah, we get to see Milo, who... When Milo ends up going back up into where he came
from. Well, first Milo comes out and he goes... At work, Patrick Warburton is Duncan, Ken Marino's boss. And he puts him to the task of firing a bunch of people, and like Office Space,
which was a total nod to Office Space, which was great.
Moves him into the bathroom with some other guy I've never wanted to punch somebody in the face as bad as I wanted to punch that guy.
So bad.
This guy is just, if you can picture the most annoying guy ever. It's this guy.
Very descriptive.
Yes. Well, he's and what's funny is that character, or rather his like persona is, he's getting a lot of work right now. Like, you'll see him pop up in a lot of commercials and stuff like that. Like, I think he's actually popped up in a couple like Best Buy ads already. I'm not sure, but yeah,
that seems to make sense.
Like, every time I see him, I'm like, oh, that fucking guy.
That's good. I'll see him on a commercial and be like, you got eaten by a butt demon.
Exactly.
Total butt demon.
Milo comes out and goes back to the toilet office
because he deleted some important accounts of that Duncan had, which was what stressed him out before he ended up with this episode in the bathroom.
Right. Yeah, he'd been working on the file for like a year
and then
shit deleted it.
Yeah. And then Milo comes back and kills him.
Which then leads to the strangest revelation in this movie. Like, for whatever reason, they think that it's a raccoon attack.
Yeah,
and the news all report is raccoon attacks.
Like, I couldn't kind of get past it. Like, who would think that
there's no fucking raccoon attack?
Come on.
How could that be a raccoon?
It's Fairway Frank. Let's face it. It's Fairway Frank.
Totally. We need some dynamite. Dynamite the butt demon.
And then butt demon's back in the butthole.
Yeah, then Bad Milo, obviously needs to go back to his home. Where's his home?
And nobody still knows that Bad Milo even exists.
Right, at this point, nobody's aware of him. He just sneaks back up into his home before Duncan wakes up in the morning and goes on with his next day. Which makes me think about what Duncan does in his free time, if he can squeeze one of those out.
Yeah, I think he might be
impressive.
He might have had a couple of troopers in his...
What actually happens to his butthole? Like, does it... I don't know.
The elasticity of it.
It's unbelievable. Unless Milo, like, somehow, like, you know, changes shape or something, but could look...
Maybe. Right? Maybe he can just kind of, like, turn into a cone
head. Maybe his head's,
and...
like, really soft.
He, like, pours into his butt.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they show him he's trying to get down the drain later, yeah. And he squeezes into it, yeah.
It's like, it's,
so if you can get your butthole the size of a drain hole...
You could have a butt demon.
Which, I've eaten some Taco Bell in my day, but never that much.
You know what? I would make the sacrifice.
Well, that bathroom scene that he had earlier, yeah. He's probably
no, going to leave your hole anyways.
Yeah, I'm sure you'd get used to it. I mean...
Talked about you taking in the pooper last week and training your butthole as a muscle, so you could totally fit a demon up your butt.
I would do it. I would just do it for the petty revenge.
What start with beer bottles.
Like, you go to a restaurant and somebody fucks up your order. Oh, sorry, butt demon.
Yep. It's on you, buddy.
You're dead.
It's a hair in my salad. Here's my butt demon.
So then we end up finding out about the demon through Duncan Tina's therapist.
Oh, yeah.
Well, oh, my God. The therapist scene.
The therapist was amazing.
Holy shit,
that guy was such a douche, too.
What's that guy's... Every time we see him, I want to find out his name because he's so awesome. The actor's name, who's like the Russian guy.
Toby Huss.
Was that...
Dr. Yeager.
He was in Party Down as well.
He's in everything, yeah. That guy. He, like... I don't know what you guys feel of the movie Constantine.
I saw it once.
Not a great movie, but his portrayal of Satan is fucking incredible. He embodies Satan really well. Like,
I'll watch it just for that.
Yeah, it's Keanu Reeves doing John Constantine, which is whatever. Like,
Keanu Reeves has been miscasted.
It's super cool, bro.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm killing demons. Oh. But no, that guy, his every time he plays a character, I'm like, oh, I'm all in.
Dude, he was Todd in Beavis and Butthead.
Oh, wow, that's amazing.
He's
amazing.
Been in Shameless, Bob's Burgers, Venture Brothers, King of the Hill.
He's been in everything. The guy's been in everything.
The best one, he's after Milo escapes while Duncan's under hypnosis...
He's scrapped with Milo a little bit, but he tries to make friends first.
He's supposed to be like his metaphorical demon. And then, so he tells him he has to be friends with him and accept him, because if he does harm to Milo, harm will come to him.
Right.
Because Milo is a part of him. So if he was to kill Milo, it would kill a part of himself, and he would end up essentially like a vegetable.
Not only accept him, he wants him to bond with him.
Right.
Oh, yeah, like he's his son.
And I pictured some montage where the people, let me tell you about my best friend, and they're playing baseball together and skipping through an apple orchard. Very similar to that battery scene.
The time comes.
Oh, really, dude? You had to do it.
You've been slacking.
God damn it.
Well, it has...
Sponsored by the battery since 2013.
If only. Can you imagine?
They wouldn't be able to send us, like, Milo butt demons. And by the way, I was saying if we were to be sponsored by Bad Milo. But I want, a plush Milo so bad. And the reason Milo was so much better than most horror movies that have come out was because Milo was real. They actually made that puppet.
And how,
it's not a CG monster.
And how expressive was that little...
than Kirsten Stewart, that's for damn sure.
That's not hard.
Like,
did you say
Kirsten?
Kirsten Stewart. No, the Bad Milo puppet was amazing. Like, they had two of them, right? Basically, like, one where he was...
Chucky thing where there's somebody inside the suit, and then they had, like, a puppet.
Yeah.
They definitely had some suit scenes.
Did they have suit scenes?
Was it like a suit?
I think so, I'm pretty sure. It seemed like either that or they just moved it immensely well, because it looked lifelike in some of its motions.
Was an actual suit?
I feel like there was.
Yeah. Yeah. Milo suit. That'd be super rad.
Yeah, now I have to go and look back through it and see if somebody's credited as Milo. I don't know.
But look at Warwick Davis. He's pretty small.
Ollie was like, no, that suit is way too small. No way you can fit in that.
Man, I still can't believe there's a man inside the 3PO suit.
Wait.
That's awesome.
Okay, what if you check IMDb, Milo Bern Troyer?
No.
Oh, that would be brilliant. See, he's small enough. He could be Milo.
He could totally be Milo.
He could totally
too
be
fat.
Milo. Credit to the filmmakers for shooting immensely well to make things seem so real. Because that movie, the film is, the scripting... It's like trauma movie quality, right?
Yeah.
Some of it is so atrocious.
Yeah.
But it's so well played and well shot
that it
ends up being an immensely entertaining
and
movie.
And here's the difference. When last episode we were talking about horror comedy, where we did Hell Baby, which to me wasn't necessarily a triumph of horror comedy.
I know you guys
liked it, but I you know, when we're talking horror comedy, Bad Milo hits those notes yeah. nicely.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it doesn't go so far into stupidity where you're like, well, I'm out. I'm completely right. out of this movie.
I definitely enjoyed Bad Milo a lot more than Hell Baby.
I had a grin on my face beginning to end.
It was,
I wasn't laughing or my jaw wasn't open, I was smiling yeah. at least. I was endlessly entertained. I was asked right after I watched it what I thought of it, and I said, I was not taken away from the movie for a moment. Yeah. The entire time I was invested.
And actually, I was about ready to start it again. Like, immediately, because I was like, I just gotta check it out again.
It's a film I'll definitely watch again.
Yeah. In fact, it was my baby's first horror movie that he watched. Which was kind of cool.
So you got to see Ron.
And you didn't even bother naming your baby Milo.
Milo, that would have been good.
That would have been really, at least the middle name. You know,
or his second middle name, maybe.
Yeah, there you go.
Speaking of Ron Donald's butt, that brings us to another person who wound up getting killed. After he bonds with Milo and Milo goes back in his butt.
Well, that's worth noting, though. I have to say. There comes the eventual part where Milo needs to go back to his home. And the therapist was so amazing. He says, he's not going to fit in there. And he says, vagina's been out of squeeze out big old babies. Like,
maybe your anus is like a vagina.
And then fucking...
I like that accent you just gave him. Like, he is some hick.
maybe your anus... When I picture somebody saying maybe your anus is like a vagina, it just sounds like you would hear in Deliverance.
Yeah. I don't like where this is going.
So Milo goes back after his. Where does he go during that second pop out?
He doesn't
scene?
Get out of the room.
Doesn't he? Though no. He hops out the window. He breaks the window. He hops out.
And out the window?
I thought so.
And he goes
out.
Oh,
he attacks the guy who came to the chair.
Oh, the fertility guy.
Yeah.
When Mikey said his mouth was open, I was gonna say, speaking of things you do with your mouth,
that scene was super rad. So the fertility doctor. Is getting or he's, no he's no, not he's, getting he's giving
he's mac and box in an alley next
yeah.
to
a dumpster yeah
yeah and it was really strange. So he finishes up eating this girl out, and he's like, come on girl, and she's like, no, I don't do that.
But do they still make girls like that? I thought that model was off the line.
They better not.
That was just, it seemed really like backward, you know,
because that was an inversion, definitely.
Yeah, for sure. Because I mean, I would imagine that going the opposite way,
right?
You know, but it was kind of refreshing in a way to see the role reverse, because I fucking hated that guy too.
Yeah, he was a dick face.
But
yeah.
It was like, really, would you let some scumbag like that raspberry your twat? Like,
wow.
Well, yeah, but it's an inversion, right? Like, yeah. You let a fat chick blow you? Well, not that there's... Okay, that, now I sound like an asshole.
You are. Mikey will still let heavy women fellate him.
Ladies?
Ladies love cool Mikey.
She will
stab
you in the face. Don't fuck with me.
Jesus.
But she will.
So.
Well.
Milo.
So, yeah.
Milo takes out revenge.
Milo fellates him.
Too. Yeah, Milo fellates him with his teeth.
Yeah, he does the job that she wouldn't.
And
I think he's like, oh, did you change your mind? And out comes Milo.
Yeah. Don't be a bitch.
Don't be a bitch, brother, or something like that.
That was his acting. It was like, don't be a bitch.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then Milo just fucking tackles him and gobbles his cock.
Oh, and there was way more cock brutal. Shown than I expected to see.
He's
there.
Hey, Yankee,
like you want. Like,
no.
Yeah,
Matt always wants cock.
No.
So it's like Matt always like stretch wants... Armstrong when he's pulling on it, just stretching out.
Whenever there's dick on screen, Matt
I complain
like,
about it, and you guys are like, I'm quite alright with
Matt
it.
Brings it up.
Yeah.
It has to be made mention of. It is a
we're talking about
when there are penises
a pooper trooper filleting a guy.
When there are
they're not
going to
be dong a foot.
Let's not excited he is. It's okay, man.
Hey, you protest too much, buddy. Well, that's one of those things where he's like, every time he says, like, no, I don't like cock, we're like, yeah, you do.
Yeah, you do.
Why are you arguing so much about the cock?
I fucking hate it.
Why is there always kielbasa in your fridge, Matt? Always.
There's no kielbasa. There's
the only thing
dick shaped in our fridge is chorizo.
But he knows. See, he's taking note of dick shaped things in his fridge.
He's going, we have plenty of,
you can't win.
Plenty of popsicles because it's hot.
Oh, God. I'm not even going to try anymore.
Okay, that's good. Jesus Christ.
Anyways, moving. Yeah. Yes. Move this down here because it's going to be cooler. And
it's worse upstairs.
Sweating like a whore in church.
It's because the door.
So everybody listening knows that the three of you, which are the three of us, four of us, which one of us probably won't listen to it. It's like 87 degrees probably. It's like nothing at all.
But we're in a small room with no air.
I was attempting to keep it cool in here. I had shut the door last night and opened
it's
the window.
It's because of all the bodies, you know.
Because we're so hot.
Oh God, we're hot.
Oh Jesus.
It's all talk about dicks.
It's getting us all hot.
It's the shape of Bad Milo's head, honestly. It looks like upside down ball sack.
Hey Arnold. It's
driving me crazy. So...
Were we still talking about the movies?
No.
So Milo's this thing makes
a lot of
back
talk.
Out of Ron Donald's butt. Sorry, Duncan's butt. He'll always be Ron Donald.
Ron Donald.
Yeah, and once again, on the news, raccoon attack.
a raccoon bit some guy's dong off.
Raccoons totally bite people's dicks off in the alleys and cities. So then Duncan ends up going back to the therapist. The therapist calls and ends up letting him know that another raccoon attack has been on the news, and he ends up going back. And for some reason, the therapist has knowledge of these butt demons.
Yeah, he has knowledge of the cult. And he knows, not only that, but he knows exactly what fucking page to turn to. He's like, he's got this, like, book that's like 1,000 pages, and he's like,
oh, serpent.
Got it. You know, it's butt demon page.
I think that might be like a movie trope.
It totally is a movie
trope,
yeah.
You always go to the guy that happens to know.
You can't flip more than twice without finding
it. Right. Well, it's just like fucking Drag Me to Hell where the guy who does the fortune telling, he instantly knows that it's like Amia, whatever. What's the...
I've got to watch that movie again.
Yeah, it's good. Well, anyways, yeah, it's totally a movie trope where he instantly knew, like, oh, it's just... Yeah, it's a clear case of butt demon, duh.
Yeah. Duh, I've seen this a million times.
It's your psyche doing things to... Yeah, so
Colonus Demonicus.
So then...
Wow, look at you. You should have...
Fancy Latin.
The word of the day... Oh.
So he ends up...
That's a good one.
The therapist ends up recommending to find out what the root of his stress issues are, to do like a little sock puppet play, and then to find out that... His father's a big issue for him, who had, abandoned him early on in his life.
And that's always what it is in psychiatry. It's always daddy
issues. It's always dad or mommy issues.
There's some definitely, like, deep psychological things in the movie.
There's some really touching scenes in this movie. Like, especially the first scene with the dad, where he goes and sees his dad after X amount of years.
And he throws open the fucking flap of his teepee, and it's Steven Root smoking weed in the tent. It's just like fucking Fast Times at Ridgemont High when they throw the van door open.
Yeah, really good.
He comes out, and Steven Root, like, he's never the same character twice. He's like the same-ish, but he's never the same character twice.
He's really good. It feels like we kind of had, like, we got lucky with this movie where we had, like, cameos of different actors and stuff. Like, it's
not A-listers, but stuff that you definitely will recognize. People you'll recognize no matter what. So
you guys like that?
It smells really peanut buttery.
I was gonna say, I hear like these sexy murmurs.
I know, goodness.
I haven't even tasted it, and I was just like, holy fuck, it smells great. Yeah.
We thought they were talking about butt demons again. No,
yes.
They're talking about
beer. Oh my god, I want to get three.
three butt demons.
So, what is this that we're drinking?
We're not that show.
This
is from the brewery. I don't know if you guys know, they're up northern, not NorCal, but like...
Is that hipster? Like, because you know hipsters call things what they are, like bake shop.
No, it's spelled differently.
Well, it's spelled B-R-U-E-R-Y, brewery. So yeah, it's a little bit hipster. But it's Rugbrod, and it's their Julebrig style dark rye ale, which I actually received as a birthing thing.
Birthday birthing?
You got it for your baby's birthday.
Yeah, so it's totally cool. I will accept beer as presents for me not doing anything.
You have a child. Get drunk.
I know. Well, and I couldn't possibly drink this whole thing by myself because it's a bit of a beast.
Possibly.
Not right now. No, dude.
Pour some more in here.
Honestly, I haven't got a good drink on in like a month and a half because I've been waiting for this baby to be born.
And we're here to mess that up.
Yeah.
That's fine. We're here to remedy. Let's say okay. I don't have anywhere to go right now.
So, Ron Donald is talking to his dad, and he kind of wants explanations, and the dad's like, that's in the past, I live in the present.
Can't do it.
Just I'm not addressed anything.
Yeah, he's super new agey about past, present stuff. So yeah.
And then so Ron Donald goes home and
you're calling him Ron Donald now.
Shit continues to suck for him, and he eventually winds up leaving his girlfriend or his fiance, wife, whatever, because he says it's not safe for her.
Which is really strange, because you think if he kind of sort of realized that Milo was a part of him, then he would have been able to cope with the fact that he needed to sort of let her in on it.
Yeah, but
Milo didn't seem that controllable. You know, right. Even that forcibly removes itself from your anus doesn't seem like something you want to introduce to your wife.
even throughout different parts of the movie, Milo winds up killing other people. He winds up killing...
It's an out-of-control rage. It's a personification of his anger and his stress.
I feel like it would be harder to tell your wife that you have
I tell a stranger before my wife, you know?
Really?
That lives inside your butt.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I think I'd sooner tell, like, my wife that I like cross-dressing or something. Like, I think that might be easier.
Do you cross-dress?
Or is this about Matt again?
It's always about Matt. Everything always comes back to Matt.
She wears my underwear sometimes.
Hey. Yeah, he actually leaves. He leaves her right after she tells him she's pregnant.
Right.
So he basically
he gets breakdown. Like mad he has cramps.
And he can't handle it.
Milo's about to escape. Yeah.
Yeah, he tends to double over in excruciating pain every time Milo is unhappy or every time he gets really stressed out.
He has big claws.
Taco Bell effect. From now on, we'll refer to it as the Taco Bell effect. He doubles over in pain.
Okay, so. Now, without going into too much like detail-y shit, the next scenes are probably the funniest in the whole thing.
The bonding montage.
Where it's straight up like
He has to make friends with his demon and accept him.
They're watching TV together.
They're cuddled up on the couch.
If you've seen the promo poster, then you've seen the image of them cuddled up on the couch, and you can see Bad Milo's fucking cute.
Right.
Milo is the cutest.
They start going through different foods that Milo will and won't eat, and
which is basically nothing.
It's kind of like watching E.T. learn that he likes Reese's Pieces.
But he tried to give him straight up cat food, and he didn't like it. And then he topped the cat food in like...
He squeezed a shitload of ketchup on it.
That's right. which will fix any meal.
Hey, this ain't Honey Boo Boo, all right? Like, you can't just mix ketchup with shit and get away with it.
Skitty.
You need butter, though. You need lots of butter.
Oh, my goodness. Well, all right, well...
It's pretty logical. Tomato sauce. Yep. Ketchup.
Cat food. Yeah, you know, fish flavor and tomatoes goes great together.
Before we get a little too long in the teeth with this episode, let's talk about what collectively seems to be our favorite scene.
Okay.
Which is, I think, the butt demon fight scene.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it gets to a point where he's back at the psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist somehow convinces his dad to come in and speak with them. And the dad's always been like, I'm very much live in the now. Like,
And it becomes very obvious why he's that way in the entire film. Because
he's got a butt demon.
It's passed down through the males.
Through the males, yeah.
Which is why he ran away, just as Duncan was trying to do. And then he's been avoiding stress, which is why he's become a complete hippie. And then as the stress of his son being in the same condition hits him, we get the butt baby battle.
Yeah.
A butt baby battle. Yeah.
His dad's butt baby was named Ralph, I believe.
Yeah, Ralph. And poor shriveled up Ralph has been neglected for years because he just denied
his
him.
Teeth were all rounded down and like missing. He looked like an old person.
And Milo fucks him.
He looked like he was about ready to die. Like that butt demon did not look good.
He still whooped a little bit of ass though, but Milo comes out in the end with some and during the fight, like anything that happens to one of the butt demons happens to the owner of said butt demon.
Right.
Every time one of the demons is hurt, its host is also injured.
Right. So in the end, Milo stabs the shit out of poor
Ralph.
Oh my god,
like 98 fucking
stabs. Well, right, and also I guess what happens too is if the butt demon dies, the host basically turns into a vegetable. Essentially
effectively kills you.
Yeah, what the therapist was saying.
And then I believe after the butt baby battle,
the BBB.
Milo hears that Sarah is pregnant, and Milo gets all pissed off and he
bolts off to go kill her.
Yeah, and then Ron Donald has to go save her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then the rest of the film is, I guess, for lack of a better word, kind of an action-y.
It's pretty fucking awesome. Yeah, though, it's, you know, like,
it's more worth watching than it is worth hearing us describe it. At this point, you know, obviously, this movie was incredibly entertaining, worth the watch. Everybody should see it.
If we're gonna do like a final wrap up, I guess, like you're saying, I mean, we all enjoyed it collectively. I'll let you guys all say your piece.
Well, the ending, yeah, it gets a little bit actiony. It comes to its head, and then in the end, everybody, Milo's alive, up Ron Donald's butt, and everybody knows he has a butt baby, and everybody's
cool totally
with
cool
it.
With it, like, great.
Yeah. You get
the happy ending. It's all around happy ending.
They go on, and she's his wife Sarah's full term, and what I wanted from the beginning, as soon as I found out she was pregnant, you find out that not only does she have a human baby, but she also has
a baby
her own butt baby.
A baby butt baby.
A baby butt baby.
She's got twins. One of them just happens to be a butt baby.
Yeah. Oh, God, can you imagine if she gave birth to both at the same time?
Well, she kind of is.
That's like some DVDA shit.
Because,
right?
No, because
the
butt demon is inside of his infant son.
Yeah, because
is it?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I didn't get that. I thought she just had one.
No. It's like a, yeah.
So the baby had a baby butt demon baby.
Yeah, it's a baby boy.
Yes.
Bad Milo writers, touche.
I like doing this to you. I like it when it happens to the both of us, because you got me a couple episodes and I'm like, no way!
The battery got everybody, though.
Oh my god, dude.
We've actually got a lot of people to see that movie, and everybody tells me, dude, I turned it off before the credits, too.
It's so bad.
Never turn it off before the credits.
That's horror movie rule.
Even video games, I do that all the time. I sit past the credits and I'm like, what? There's always something else.
Exactly.
Alright, Mikey, final thoughts on the movie.
Fantastic, immensely entertaining. The cast is brilliant. A lot of well-known comedic actors. And I wouldn't even call it a horror film so much as a chiller. You know, it's entertaining, kind of keeps you on the edge of your seat. It doesn't ever drag. It's always moving forward. And so it's funny, not exactly frightening, but kind of chilling. I really loved it.
It had a couple good scary scenes. I liked it.
It was very well made.
Yeah.
Matt?
Yeah.
I think the same. I really liked it. I thought all the cast was great together. The chemistry was great. Jillian Jacobs was a little off-putting at times. but at Patrick Warburton, I absolutely loved him in this. Stephen Root was fantastic in this. And I love that they made Milo real. I'm so sick of CG. And
there was, yeah. It's 100% agree.
CG could have killed this.
It's cheesy.
As cheesy as it could look sometimes, where it's like, oh, look, it's obviously a puppet. Like, big fucking deal. It's a puppet, but it's actually something that's made.
Well, it's funny. You say you could actually see at some point, like...
The joints in the neck.
The joints in his neck. But, I mean, who cares? They could have cleaned that up with CG, but I like that they didn't. Yeah. It was a straight-up awesome puppet.
It had spooky undertones. It was more so a comedy than anything else, like in the vein of Gingerbread Man or, you know, Blood Feast. Or Poltergeist. Yeah, it was very Basket Case-y. I love the fuck out of Basket
Case. But Basket Case is actually fucking creepy.
Basket Case is fucking gross, too.
This is Basket Case for children with explicit language and extreme gore.
Not for children, for somebody who wants to laugh.
And a seven.
No. It's meant to be funny, unlike Basket Case.
Yeah, it's more on the funny side of the horror comedy spectrum than it's straight up horror. Yeah.
Definite rewatch, definite recommend.
Excellent. Yeah. Malia?
Yeah, I think I pretty much agree with what everybody else is saying. I would say the only people who wouldn't like it probably are people who hate dick and fart jokes.
People who suck.
I don't know personally anybody.
Yeah, I wouldn't associate with people that don't like dick and fart jokes.
I heard they exist. I've heard people that don't think that farts are funny, so.
They're across the narrow sea.
They're wrong.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely one of those movies where you're like, you just have to kind of just let go and enjoy it, because
it's a little gross, so you know, but if you think it's funny, but it, see gross things, then
you
it's
see
okay.
No poop and this demon comes out of his ass, so it's
there's,
not that bad.
There's like
there a little bit of poop. The outhouse scene.
Well, yeah,
that was definitely poop.
He gets mad and shakes it off.
Milo shakes like a dog, yeah. And he gets poop on his shirt and stuff.
And he keeps wearing the shirt for like 2 or 3
days. Yeah, right. The whole time he's in the hotel away from his wife, he's wearing that shit shirt and doesn't even think to like rinse it out in the sink.
No, no, not at all. He does not give a shit about his shit shirt.
Oh, goodness.
So, yeah, and obviously I like the film. I'm a huge fan of horror comedy. I love Gremlins. I there's even some films that aren't necessarily considered horror comedy that I still laugh at. So it's one of my favorite things. I like horror that has a sense of humor while at the same time accomplishing horror. Like I don't like horror that's like all the time in your face about being scary,
right.
And being
smut,
gory. And,
it.
You know, it's got its place. I enjoy those films as well. But when you have horror with just a smidgen of comedy and even a little lighthearted, you know, scenes at the end, whatever, that's always better for me because, like, it gives you a contrast where you're not just like, ugh, like, you know, fucking all cringy the whole time.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was fantastic. Go check it out. What's the release like on this thing? I know it's on VOD now.
It was limited edition in the theaters, like very limited VOD, and I think it comes out on DVD in October. Same as most of the movies that we do.
Yeah, it'll be a great Halloween film. I mean, we've got a ton of them coming up in Halloween time.
Oh, yeah, there's a shitload. I mean, we're still probably going to stick to the every 2 weeks routine for now just due to, you know, life. And
yeah, it's...
But there will be plenty of content.
For those of y'all that wanted the every week, we apologize, but we sort of took a look at our schedules and realized that every other week for now is good because... You know, we were going a little insane.
Yeah, it was getting to be a little too much. And not quite sure what the next episode will be, so...
It'll be a surprise. You know, what's really funny is that last episode I did a intro and said that we were doing The Conjuring, which obviously we haven't done yet.
We keep you on your toes, so...
a surprise bad Milo review.
Yeah, you never know what you're going to get with it.
Well, you know, we took a look at what other podcasts were doing, and we decided to, you know,
yeah.
Say fuck it.
Bad Milo.
Yeah, we wanted to do Bad Milo. It fit in with the Hellbaby theme pretty well, and I'm glad we watched it because I wouldn't have had as much fun doing The Conjuring.
And we've closed the book on the pregnancy trilogy.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, that's it for the episode. We've got a lot of good things in store. We've got crazy episodes coming up, hopefully. We are getting, like Matt Smith was saying earlier, that we're getting into horror movies sort of like... You know, it's not necessarily feast or famine, but we're definitely getting into...
the thick of it.
The thick of it, which is fucking awesome. I mean, it's rad when we can, like, say every week that there's going to be a good film that comes out and we're going to fucking...
Well, we can't guarantee it'll be good.
Yeah.
But at least we...
There's plenty to be excited for.
Yes.
Yeah, plenty to be excited for. We got lots of stuff.
It won't be slim pickings.
And we're pretty close to episode 10 here.
I know, and we thought we weren't going to get past 4. Look at us.
No, Christian Stella thought we weren't going to get past 4.
Well, I don't know necessarily think he didn't think we were going to get past, but he said if we could get past 4, then, you know, we have...
Then we have riches beyond our wildest dreams.
We have a thing going.
He was talking about emotional wealth, because that's all I have.
Well, yes. In the theme of all the poop talk, I found this to be very appropriate for this episode, but... I kind of consider that in a land of crap, we're the shit.
Oh, God.
Signing off, I'm Matt.
Well, actually, before we sign up, sorry.
Oh, before, I was trying to make that smooth, but
can
George
please,
doesn't like that.
Can you please throw out all of our links that we
need
to have?
Oh, all of our
everybody.
Links, right. We are on iTunes, so you can search for Who Goes There podcast, or if you don't like typing, click Who Goes There, or type Who Goes There, and click podcast. Also, facebook.com/whogoestherepodcast, whogoestherepod on Twitter, and whogoestherepodcast.com.
God, you're so good at that. I'm
not even reading.
I'm consistent. I'm consistently impressed with the way Matt can, like, rattle those off.
I have to go and edit any little space between the words.
Yeah,
like,
make
commercial.
It completely clean.
And Jorge is never on our Facebook, so he has no idea the things I say about him on there. So... Go on and look and see what I say about the comments.
Definitely, definitely social media is not my thing. all right, well, you started it. Go
now,
ahead.
Now, signing off again, I am Matt getting tired of Jorge's interruption Smith.
I'm Mikey.
Alia again.
And this is Jorge just signing off once more for the podcast. Thanks, guys.
Say it.
Cheers.
And enjoy the episode.
Say it.
Don't say it.
Say it.
Don't say it.
Fine.
And who goes there to you?
Ah!
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.